Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine.
Vaccine. And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sub Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Sub Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We are back from what was a pretty snowy weekend, though you wouldn't know it looking outside, would you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a trace of it now, but Rusty did have his first snow this weekend. And it was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he's so cute. He's adorable. He liked it.
So at first he was like, what? And then as soon as he saw us run in the snow,
oh, cute.
Then he was like, okay, I get this. This is fun. But then it's also like at a certain point, he's just eating a lot of snow. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, right. Yeah. Morty hates it. He doesn't like dig it. I put up this, like, I've been trying to up Morty. Also, if these are our dogs, these are our pet animals. If you didn't know, these aren't our children.
Yeah. This is your first episode of this up. We do usually talk about the news, but
we actually have pet parenthood as a topic today, but he doesn't really like it. And I like made what I thought was a funny reel about him not liking it that kind of like got a lot of views. And then some lady was like, oh, well, mommy didn't shovel. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm getting mom shamed for my dachshund. And I replied and then deleted. I was like, global warming shoveled before noon for me. And then I deleted it because I was like, Amanda, you don't need to get into it with this random.
But sometimes it's hard.
Yes. Yes. So speaking of snow, we had snow in the Northeast this weekend, but last week we had some in the Mid-Atlantic. And as a Virginia native, I mean, what was it like to this I-95? I still can't believe that this happened. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it were not 2022, had we not become so accustomed to apocalyptic stories, period, I think we would still be talking about the 24-hour traffic disaster on I-95 in Virginia.
I did not get an opportunity to talk about this on the pod last week. And I specifically asked you to talk about it this week, because here's my thing. I'm not surprised that this happened, because as a Virginian and as any Virginian listening to this podcast would know, Virginia pretends it does not snow there. It does snow there. It snows there every year. It snowed there every year that I lived there. And it will continue to snow there because that is part of the climate. It snows there. The state of Virginia does not recognize this, goes into a full panic every time it snows. I don't know why they don't buy salt. I don't know why they don't buy trucks. It's been going on for many years. When I was in high school one time, so it snowed and then everything went crazy because it always does. And like all the buses are like driving off the road and like,
right.
It's like all chaos breaks loose because no one has snow. No one has salt prepared for some reason, even though we know the weather, whatever. So one time when I was in high school, we got 2 weeks off of school because it just kept snowing and freezing before they could like treat the roads. And then they had to extend the school year by 2 weeks into the summer. And it was like a whole catastrophic situation. And I was pissed off because my parents wouldn't drive me to my boyfriend's house because the roads were so bad. So it's like, what's even the point? What's the point of having 2 weeks off school if your parents aren't going to drive you to your boyfriend's house?
Yeah, precisely. And I mean, what does a snow day even mean when half the country has had to shut down in-person learning because of the surge of a infectious disease? I mean,
yeah. So I'm like, this has been going on, Tim Kaine. And my other thing that I will say is, of all the senators, the most perfect one to be stuck in a traffic jam for 24 hours is Tim Kaine.
Well, that is so true. Is it because he's the most mild? I feel like he's a trustworthy narrator of the events just as they are. And the fact that like that you got like a little rise out of him. He was like, this is really quite a shame.
Yeah. Well, Tim Kaine has like a little bit of Charlie Brown energy to me where it's just like, oh, man, I got stuck in traffic for 17 hours on my way to work. And like he was like live tweeting the whole thing and being like, somebody brought me an apple. And I'm like,
sometimes it's genuinely hard for me. Sometimes I'll sort of be like, who was Hillary's running mate? What?
Tim Kaine.
I truly forget, which is pretty telling.
He does carry a harmonica. What the last thing I'll say is that he carries a harmonica with him at all times, and I imagine it came in handy.
Yes.
Being
you know
stuck
what?
Stuck on the road. Yeah.
Whenever he sort of pops back into the mainstream consciousness, it's always for like a wonderful reason, whether he has his harmonica or he is a vice presidential candidate or he's wearing a bandana that makes him look like he's in the Wild West over his face. Remember that one?
Yep.
Solid. Definitely a top 20 member of the Senate.
Yeah. Of 50.
Yeah. Of 100. But really only 50.
Yeah, you're right.
Really.
I wasn't thinking of that other, the other one.
The
ones that won't vote for anything.
Yeah.
They don't count.
So as we sort of gestured at the beginning of the show, we are two child-free dog owning ladies in long-term relationships. One of us is newly married. I am soon to be married. I actually booked a venue this weekend, I think.
Exciting.
I will be getting married in exactly 9 months. I conceived my wedding yesterday.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It is exactly as consuming and stressful as they all say. Yeah. But luckily I have my pet companion, my support animal to help me through it. But according to Pope Francis, this makes me selfish. And the fact that we have children instead of pets make us selfish. And it means we lack the humanity of people who do have children. Of course, you've heard this by now, but last week, the pontiff expressed concern about falling global birth rates. He described the falling birth rates as a, quote, demographic winter and scolded couples that have pets instead of children. Also, it's like, dude, like leave this to the demographers and the population professors. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Why are you so concerned? But anyway, he said these people were being selfish and exhibiting, quote, a denial of fatherhood and motherhood that diminishes us all and takes away our humanity, which of course caused quite a stir.
Yeah. Swing and a miss for me from the Pope here. You know, my mom comes from big Catholic family. She's one of six. I get it. I get the desire to preserve the enormous Catholic family, but I don't think it's because of dog parents that that's not happening. I'm always like, Pope, it's because people are poor. Like,
you bring up an excellent point that he is probably meaning like specifically like let's make more Catholics, and it's like every like Jew with a designer dog, we're all on Instagram like, how dare he.
Yeah, well, that number one, he's definitely speaking to his own folks in that moment, but number two, it's like, it reminds me of like articles where it's like, why aren't millennials buying houses? And it's like, we don't have any money, Pope. Like, that's why. Like, my grandpa was an elevator repairman, like a union blue collar worker guy with six kids. Like, you can't do that now
anymore. Yeah, that's so
you
true.
You know, like that's not. And my grandma like worked on and off, but sometimes she was home and sometimes she was like working at Sears. So it's like, you can't have a family like that now. I have a dog because I can afford a dog.
Like, right, precisely. Also, it's just so, I mean, there are layers here, right? There are so many layers, because I don't really know if the Catholic Church is an authority on protecting children for a number of reasons. Like, I can't remember who I was listening to or some comedy bit, but where it's like, it's insane that you just mention the Catholic Church and it's like the first thing, two things you think of. It's like maybe the Pope and then child sex abuse. Like, that is crazy. That is crazy. So maybe you want to address that before accusing others of lacking humanity when it comes to children. And maybe, ridiculous. Also, maybe let some priests have some kids. Maybe let a little more of them have some kids. Oh, plenty of layers. Just a very, it was a dumb statement, Francis.
Yeah, it does just feel like it's like, no, you're still like, you still need to be cleaning up your own house before you're coming to tell me not to have a dog. Like,
right.
You've got, you got a lot of other stuff going on, dude. I mean, my whole family is like Catholic, pictures of saints, all of that stuff. I have a lot of respect for Catholic and the Catholic faith. I just think that the Pope, you know, I don't think he needed to speak on this now and at this time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that the administration of Catholicism is, you know, there are some issues there. There are some issues in the management that's been going on for a while. So
Management issues.
I love the art. I like the pomp, the circumstance. I like the way it made my grandma feel about her life. I don't like the managerial situation.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Well, if this was the shot that really kind of hurt on the way down, the chaser was definitely that Spain last week, I think on the same day, passed a law declaring pets as sentient beings rather than objects when it comes to couples separating or divorcing. So I guess judges must consider the animal's best interest in legal disputes. I assume this means, like, previously they were considered objects. And what's weird about this kind of law is that, like, and this is the issue with like a lot of animal rights things, is that like it's a pet until it is, like, pets that are just, they're either livestock or they're like property, but this basically calls them as like, this is a thing, this is a being that has rights and it has feelings. And so this sort of means that, like, say it's like some dude had a dog prior to getting in a long-term relationship, but his ex can prove that he's just like, maybe he's like got a charge for something that can prove he's, as I was writing this, maybe this could be abused to like get your dog back, but like, I don't know. I just thought of Legally Blonde. Like, I'm taking the damn dog.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, I mean, isn't this the Legally Blonde, like,
yes,
Jennifer Coolidge dog scenario? Exactly. Like, that's all I could think about hearing this. I was like, well, finally, we've done something about these men.
20 years later.
These men precisely. In trailer parks trying to take Jennifer Coolidge's dog.
Yeah. Well, this is like, when it comes back to the Pope, it's just, I think, what would Jesus do? I think he would have a dog. I think he would rescue a little pit mix and he would have a dog.
I don't know if like culturally people had pets like that then.
Well, true. But we're saying it's applied to the current context. What would he do? Jesus with the long hair would be a hipster with a pit bull mix in Williamsburg.
Oh, absolutely. And like the pit bull has like nipples and you're like, why?
Are we both thinking of like Justin Theroux's dog?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, I don't know, those dudes you see around like Union Square who are like a little grungy and the dog looks like a little grungy too.
But it always has nipples.
Yeah. And it always has like visible nipples. And I'm
like an aggressive amount of nipples for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's Jesus's dog.
Yeah. Anyways, but you just got a dog and you're married, but this is always a sensitive conversation, but have you had the, what do we do with the dog if something happens with us conversation?
I think that we like can't even begin to discuss that. But since we have two pets, obviously we would have to, like, one would get one and one would get the other, but it's a horrible circumstance to imagine.
Absolutely horrible circumstance. And certainly if we had to get the law involved, I would want to, I feel like a judge would definitely side with me when I think about it. Not because Mike has ever done anything wrong. He would say I am the primary caretaker for our animal, which have, as I say on almost nearly every podcast, has a number of special needs.
I think that Danny could make a pretty good case that he's the primary caretaker. And so for that reason, I would have to play my cards very carefully.
Yes, you'd have to get a good lawyer.
I'd have to do the thing where I meet with every lawyer in town so that he can't get a lawyer. You'd have to get Elwood's. Yeah, like I would really have to do some legal finagling because he's definitely out here on these streets walking this dog. A lot of witnesses to that.
Yeah, it's pretty cold out there. See, I'm the opposite. Like if you went around my neighborhood, have you ever seen this gentleman with this dog? They'd be like, I don't know.
No,
that lady though, that lady.
I would have to do tricks. I'd have to hire, who is it? Lynn Wood, the Trump lawyer who... who Kyle Rittenhouse fired.
Oh, beautiful. So we've spent the top half of the podcast focusing on things we do know about, because the bottom half is about schools and kids and teachers, and we are not teachers or parents. And I think that's one of the reasons we haven't touched on this as much, is because it feels like such a terrible conversation with no solutions when it comes to, should kids be in school? Should teachers have to teach them in school? Who should be prioritized here? But it is clearly so present right now. While more people seem to be getting COVID than ever, it's just insane that almost 2 years into the pandemic, the federal government has not found a way, or state governments, to support them and to have like a way to manage outbreaks. It's crazy.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
You know, much like everything in the pandemic has like laid bare so many different things about our system and where it's inadequate and where it fails and whatnot. And I think that it has forced us to realize that the function of our public schools right now is not just teaching kids about X, Y, and Z.
Race.
Well, yeah, it's not only about teaching kids history wrong. It's also about it's also like a major daycare center for many children. And like, we do not have the infrastructure. Like, we can maybe facilitate some of the learning part, but there is just nothing that makes up for having a place to send your kids for the entire day. And while parents are working, and there's nothing that makes up for it. Teachers are now being like pushed to the brink because it's really not their job to be a daycare center for kids. They are teachers. Yeah. They are there to teach, but our schools do serve this other function. And I know in New York, it's like one of the biggest issues is how many kids get their best meal, their best, hot, most nutritious meal of the day at school. Yeah. And how many kids, like, the safest place that they go every day is at school. And so it's like these buildings serve as so much more than just a place where kids are learning to read and write. And like, it's like a function that can't be done virtually.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking, I mean, because this country lacks a strong safety net across childcare, across child nutrition, it just shows how the pandemic has shown how much that schools have had to absorb so much of that. And so that when you have to necessarily remove that option, how much of that goes away. And it's no secret that officials have seen that and they're reluctant to close the schools. But for a lot of reasons, not everybody thinks that is a good idea. So we're going to run through some of the current conversation and factors complicating in-person schooling. I'll say before I go through this, I think a lot of times this gets presented as a false choice. Like it's like parents who want in-person learning for kids versus teachers who like don't want to go back, which is not what it is. And also there are plenty of teachers, but like, just to clarify, like if I'm going, cause I know this is a really sensitive subject for people. If it sounds like I'm pitting one against the other, I don't mean to, there are lots of factors just for in the interest of time. So we've obviously had in-person learning resume for a while now, but we've never had this many people test positive for COVID at once in schools or elsewhere. A record number of New York City kids have missed the last 2 weeks of school. And not only are these like daycare centers literally just to put kids, but like for some kids, it's like, if they're not at school, they're elsewhere and it might be somewhere where they shouldn't be. So things are getting kind of lawless in some places where it's like, there's so few teachers for even the kids that can show up that the kids that can show up are just like, fuck it. Like there's nothing happening at school. So when kids get test positive or school shut down, that obviously impacts parents' ability to work. And especially when it's unpredictable. I mean, a lot of the comparisons I've heard parents say, it's like, well, at least in March 2020, we knew things were going to be like this for a while. Once we got over the 2 weeks thing, but now it's like, we never know if we're going to go from in-person to remote and how long that's going to be. So some have wondered why schools didn't just cancel plans for in-person schooling after the holidays and hold off for just a few weeks. Schools obviously don't want to shut down because of all of the things we just talked about, as well as some political pressure to stay open. But so many teachers are out with COVID amid a severe shortage of substitutes. The classes, as I said, they're barely socially distanced because they've had to be combined, or they're just not serving any purpose rather than just like a place for kids to be, which has value, as we said. Some teachers are, this part makes me so angry. Some teachers are running out of paid sick days and have to lose money in order to adhere to CDC guidelines to isolate. So if you happen to feel fine, I know. If you happen to feel fine after, because like a lot of people that are teachers save up sick leave for years. So maybe they have a lot, but say that they don't, and they're just starting to, or for any number of reasons, but the CDC still says you have to isolate for 5 days. So that's 5 days. And let's say if you happen to feel fine, your school's gonna be like, come back, bitch. But if you don't, you have to take even more days. And like earlier in the pandemic, there was a federal requirement to offer paid days off for COVID related matters that were separate. But a lot of districts have gone back to just normal, typical leave. Some have instituted like special COVID sick days, which sounds awesome. But like, imagine saving your sick days for years so you can take them for maternity leave. You test positive for COVID, and then you got to be out for 10 days. Then maybe your kid does. You got to be out for 10 more days. I mean, you're losing weeks of leave that you've saved up for years. It's a disgrace. And so maybe you don't want to do that. So you're just going in and exposing other people, which I don't think that person's, you're a villain for doing that.
No, I mean, it's with the lack of like support, it makes everyone have to make, you know, questionable moral decision, things in the gray area, because it's like you are putting people's livelihood up against public health, and we should not be doing that, because when people are going to choose their livelihood in many cases, because it's your livelihood, like we should be putting systems in place so that that is not a choice people are having to make, so that they can always choose public health. But something we're coming up against time and time again in this pandemic is like, there's so many, so much of the stuff that was like propping things up at the beginning, like a lot of those programs have gone away.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have ended. And a lot of like the programs for businesses, I know things are really, really difficult. Especially, you know, I'm seeing it a lot in the live comedy space, which, personal plug, I do have a show. I do have a show Friday the 14th at 7 p.m. at BCC in Williamsburg. And it's been, you know, they're putting a lot of stuff in place to try to keep things open and to be able to have shows, because like these businesses, they don't have the help that they had before. And like, I was feeling nervous mm-hmm. about putting one on, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want places to have to, like, the government has decided we're open now.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, right. Yeah. And I don't really know what people, I mean, I think people are simply expressing a frustration when they say, well, it's not fair for our schools to have to close down when bars and restaurants are able to open. And I don't think that means bars and restaurants are necessarily closed, because it's just like, they're gonna, they're going to close permanently. Like, people need to have income. It's like, I'm not really going to restaurants because I haven't gotten COVID yet. But I'm like, but also they're all empty on my block. And if I don't go now, they're going to go away. So yeah,
it puts everything in a non-ideal position, because I think a lot of, like, again, people have to put like your livelihood and the health and well, like financial wellness of their community and of businesses they care about. Like, I care about the theater that I'm doing my shows at. I want it to stay open. I want the shows to continue there because there isn't a safety net helping them. And I feel like this is what's happening with our schools as well, you know, and with the school, it's like there's like devastating consequences to that. Like, people are leaving the education field from dealing with this.
Oh, I mean, I would if it was an option. And we have a few more minutes, so I just want to run through what's going on in Chicago, because I think that's sort of been the epicenter of how wrong this has gone and how many opportunities to address it have been forsaken. In Chicago, their kids are missing their fourth day of school because of gridlock over how to handle the COVID surge. Basically, the teachers union wanted and voted on a temporary period of remote learning into January, just to let this happen. The mayor and the city said, nope, go to the classroom. And so they haven't been in the classroom. This is based on the fact, everything we've been talking about. There's no teachers. Too many people are sick. There's just, it's not helpful. And like, nothing is really happening in the schools. And there's just not safety protocols. Specifically, Chicago Public Schools testing program is not a well-oiled machine. The city has addressed this. Like, all the opportunities that they had to get it in order have not really been done. So it's just not that slick. It's not that efficient. So one specific disagreement, just to give an example of what the union wants, is safer testing protocols. So in many big districts, all students are enrolled in a testing program and they need their parental consent to opt out of it. A lot of times this means like a percentage of kids will be tested each week. But in Chicago, students need to opt in. So you can imagine that's a much smaller group of people and they need parental consent. Teachers and the teachers union say, that means we're not testing enough people. We're not going to catch cases. Like, the testing we're going to do is useless, because if we're not testing enough people to even isolate them. So teachers proposed having everyone automatically enrolled and testing 10% of kids every week. And this is just an interesting reaction. I thought Mayor Lori Lightfoot opposes this because she doesn't think schools should perform a, quote, quasi-medical procedure on kids without parents' consent. This is a Democratic mayor. They do the nose tests in Chicago now, but other school districts do the saliva tests. I don't know if it makes much of a difference, but that was just a bizarre reason to oppose it. But over the weekend, the teachers union proposed another solution to be remote until January 18th, which is just 8 days from now. The city rejected it. It's kind of like, seems like it's going to take you longer to go back and forth and just accept this plan and let people recover.
Yeah. And again, it's like, these parents need to know where, like, if their kid is going to school.
And they don't have these kids don't have school at all right now. It's not remote, because the teachers were like, we want to be remote. And Chicago Public Schools said, nope, everything's canceled until it's figured out. So it's not even like if you're in Chicago and your kid's home.
It must be infuriating.
Yeah. They have something to do. They just have nothing to do. And I if I were a parent right now, I would be institutionalized. There's just no way.
Yeah, I think the really crazy part of the Omicron surge is just how, like, it seems like the system was, like, caught completely with its pants down, like, just had not thought of this. And it's very strange to me that is the case, because I feel like there should be protocols in place for, like, okay, what are we going to do if and when it surges? But
yeah, I think there's a lot to what you said before, which is that, you know, at the start of this, when cases have surged in the past, there were a lot of federal protections and interventions, and we're seeing what happens when those don't exist. But, like, nothing's changed other than the virus is, quote, more mild. But if you are a teacher or a parent who's struggling with this, we're putting a few call outs for experiences on our Instagram today, so check those out. That is our show today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Sub Podcast.
The Betches Sub Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.